Today's scripture is from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 29. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Those are our people. That would be us. We are included in the generation that John was writing to, who had not seen Jesus. And the 2,000 years of generations since, all folks who have heard the story and yet not seen with their own eyes and yet are called to believe, to trust in God's resurrection power, to base their whole hearts, their whole lives upon this power. And remember, to believe in the New Testament is synonymous with trust. Not intellectual assent to something, but to trust. And yet, as 21st century folks, I think we resonate with poor old Thomas, don't we? Thomas, who had a hard time trusting. Doubting Thomas, who has gotten a bad rep for doing something that those of us in this century find natural, normal, wanting to see for himself, to get the facts, the first-hand experience. He is just trying to sort out false news from real news. And his brain was reacting like our brains still react when under crisis and shock and stress and grief. We jump to the most manageable story that we can find, the most concrete, what's at least most manageable in that moment, and so we can know whether we need to fight or flee. What's real? How can that be real? Won't believe it till I see it. Have any of you ever prayed, "God, just give me a sign so obvious that I cannot miss it. Let me know what is real so I know what to do." If so, then you understand Thomas. We resonate with Thomas, and his desire to know for himself. And like Thomas, I think we forget what Jesus has just given the disciples in his appearance on that first Easter evening, an appearance that happened through doors locked in fear. He gave them the power to trust through the Holy Spirit and through community. He breathed on them the Holy Spirit, just as the Creator God breathed on the unformed waters of creation in the Genesis story. This holy, transformational breath creates form out of void, community out of randomness. Receive the Holy Spirit, Jesus says to all the disciples. And then he adds this odd statement. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain, hold on to the sins of any, they are retained. Now, this has often gone down in the history of Christendom, been interpreted to give authority to hierarchy to include or exclude on the basis of whatever might be the sin of the day. But I think the implications are much deeper for Christian community. I think Jesus' statements reveal the true power that's held in this Holy Spirit community. What I hear is that in community, we as disciples have the power to create a place of compassion where forgiveness is freely given, or we can create a place of rigidity where hurts are retained and continue to damage the fabric of our life together. Good community is a place where there are boundaries and consequences for hurtful actions, but these are based on compassion and forgiveness and transforming love rather than punitive retribution. Forgiveness creates community among difference. We may be very different from one another and misunderstand one another and even take offense at times. But with forgiveness, we stay in community. With the Holy Spirit of forgiveness, we learn to listen across the differences and divides. We stay in the process of growth. When we reject forgiveness, when we retain the sins and withhold forgiveness, our community is damaged, if not destroyed. So could Jesus' statement about retaining sins not be a prescription for the way to act in community, but a warning? A warning that this will not serve you as community. You have great power in community. Will you forgive or hold on, retain? I find it insightful in the course of the story that the next scene after Jesus' words is Thomas rejecting the testimony of the community. And what is their response to them, to him? Well, we don't know for sure. I'm guessing, knowing human beings, he ruffled a few feathers. But the implication is that he stays within the community despite his rejection of their testimony of good news. Testimony that I'm sure stirred up some conflict and some feelings. And yet, the next week, Thomas is still with them. He's part of them. Was there forgiveness of his harsh words? Was there understanding despite differences? He is still with them, and so he has the opportunity to experience the transforming grace of Jesus' presence when Jesus comes again. and to be transformed himself. So perhaps Thomas's mistake is not doubting the extraordinary and shocking news of resurrection. Instead, perhaps his misstep came in not trusting the witness of the Spirit-filled community that loved him. We all know that doubting and questioning is not bad. In fact, they can lead us to new understanding. And the community of the body of Christ holds this transforming power. It is in this type of community in which we can ask questions. We can kick against the incomprehensible. A community steeped in the breath of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. A community of compassion and courage, of forgiveness and unconditional love, of strength and boldness and tenderness. In such a community, it is safe, and we can be in crisis and grief and express our doubts and our despair. And we can lean on the faith of the community when we feel we have no faith of our own. We lean on the faith, not necessarily the doctrine, but the living faith of the community. We can trust the prayers, the songs, the sacraments, the words of testimony, both contemporary and from the ancient scripture texts, when we can no longer trust our own reactions. And eventually, I believe we will find we are led to the presence of God that astounds and heals us. I believe this is what happens in the story of poor old maligned Thomas, who was doing his best to be faithful. In God's holy community, Jesus gives us all the grace of transformation as we each struggle with seeing for ourselves, even as we are learning to trust the power of the community who has not seen and yet has come to believe. So I finish with questions for us in this body of Christ. Are we, as the community of Plymouth Congregational Church, United Church of Christ, fully revealing the Holy Spirit in our midst and embracing God's compassion, forgiveness, courage, and love for us all? Are we fully receiving the Spirit into each of our individual lives so that we may offer these gifts of the Spirit to one another and to all who come through our doors and to all whom we may meet? Will we hold the space of Spirit for each other, for the world in times of belief and disbelief? Will we hold this sacred space where utter despair can be held along with utter joy as we trust the presence of the risen Christ in God's holy community of faith? Think on these things as you worship today and as you walk with the risen Christ in the coming week. Amen and amen.